Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I am happy to be with you on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost. We are moving swiftly toward Advent in a new liturgical year. It is, as always, a joy to be with you today. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from 2 Kings. We're in the 5th chapter. We're going to be in verses 1 through 3 and then skip down to 7 through the end of verse 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master because by him the Lord had given victor to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from a skin disease. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his skin disease? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elijah's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me, he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. Are not Aban and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the water of Israel? Could I not wash them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together now and be reminded of the tenets of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is from the gospel according to Luke. We're in the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. Hear now a story of healing and the word of the Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 with a skin disease approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 made clean? So were the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we come together today, humbled by this, both of these stories of healing, both of these men who were not of the Israelites' faith, but of their own, that you revealed yourself to them in different ways. You used them as a witness to your people, as examples of what faith and trust and healing looks like. We thank you for these words, for their stories, for their testaments and testimonies that still bring us hope and peace today. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us also reflect today on those words of the psalmist. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives might be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come to the place into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. One of my favorite things about Wendell Berry is the visual images he creates. When he speaks in this poem, "The Peace of Wild Things," I can almost see the tug of war between the chaos and the peaceful. Fear moves to rest. Taxing and grief move to water and light and freedom. The water, the place where all of the animals go to live and feed, is where he also finds peace in the midst of the wildness of life. Apparently, Naaman didn't read Wendell Berry poetry. He didn't know that there was healing in the water. He was told to go bathe in. He didn't know that there was a peace to be found there. He didn't trust that what Elisha was telling him could possibly be true. He didn't think that the answer to his ailments could be that simple. He didn't trust that whatever the prophet told him to do would work. His ego, his stubbornness, his doubt almost kept him from being healed. In the gospel lesson today, we see 10 men that are afflicted with a skin disease. And while all 10 do as they are told and go to the temple to be healed, Jesus makes sure to point out that one of them was not an Israelite, but a Samaritan. Being a foreigner did not just mean that you were from another country, but also that you were from another religion. This lesson is showing us not just that we should show gratitude for the healing that we receive, but that we should trust that healing can come from anywhere at any time. If we think about these passages from the perspective of Naaman and the Samaritan, they had to put a lot of trust and faith into something totally outside of their belief system. They had to trust that God, who was who he said he was, and that they could be healed. Naaman may have done it a little more reluctantly. He may have had to be encouraged a little more than the Samaritan had to be. But both of these men eventually received the healing they need. They just had to trust. We have no idea what these skin diseases really were that these men were suffering from. But in ancient times, any kind of skin issue was scary. It could have been anything from a simple rash to eczema to chickenpox. Any of these, no matter if they were contagious or harmful, could get them ostracized from their communities. It is a good reminder that we should not be relying on anyone from the priesthood to give us medical advice. Despite our advancements in medicine, there is still healing that is needed in this world. These lessons are still valuable for many ailments, not just physical. And while prayer and medicine can certainly heal our bodies, only God can heal our spirits. The question is, do we trust him enough to receive that healing when he sends it? If God sends someone from another country, or someone who has a different skin color than we do, or someone who loves differently than we do, will we dismiss it because it seems beneath us like Naaman did? When he is told to simply go and wash in the Jordan and be healed, his response was, "I thought that for me, he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would have waved his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease." Do we think we deserve better than the simple healing of water? Do we think that surely God would not heal our hearts using people who are from a different country? How many times have we passed by the thing that God wanted to use to help us because we put limits on God? Being open to God's healing, no matter how he does it, shows a level of trust that is hard to live into sometimes. It's hard to be vulnerable and put our egos and our own preconceived notions of what we deserve aside, to humble ourselves, to go bathe in the Jordan, to be healed, and then go bow down at the feet of Jesus and thank him. The answer to all these doubts and lack of trust is that God can use whomever he wants to heal anyone he pleases. If only we could just trust that idea. Our hearts can be healed in so many ways. Hope can show up in the kindness of people we never met. Healing can happen in many ways. Do y'all remember when the war in the Ukraine started? Seems like a lifetime ago. There was so much hurt and anger and hopelessness around that situation. I read a story about women and children fleeing the Ukraine to other countries. They had to leave with nothing but what they had on and could carry with them. In countries throughout Europe, mothers were taking strollers loaded with diapers and formulas and blankets and leaving them at train stations. So when the Ukrainian women got off the trains with their children, there would be supplies at each station. These refugees, these foreigners, were being healed one stroller at a time. They could trust that the women in these other European countries that spoke other languages besides their own were going to help them through the darkness into a place of healing. No matter what the world tells us these days, immigrants can and do show love and kindness and acceptance. In our gospel lesson, it was only the immigrant that came back and thanked Jesus for being healed. Everyone else in the story, the people who knew the ancient scriptures, never returned to give thanks. They trusted in their own ways and not in the love of God. Maybe, just maybe, we can learn something from the immigrant stories in Scripture and in our own time. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except Israel. Naaman finally realized. Your faith has made you well, Jesus said to the Samaritan. God's love covers us all. God's love heals us all, even those from foreign lands. Imagine that. I've been recommending the book Theo of Golden by Alan Levi to anyone who will listen lately. It's my hope that we can study it together in the new year. There's so many beautiful themes and ideas in the book. I'm sure this is the first of many times you'll hear me quote it. The main character, Theo, an immigrant, we learn throughout the book, has spent a lifetime healing sadness and wounds. And at first, the people of Golden, Georgia, don't see what he is doing. But they start to be healed by his mission, just like he was healed by others over the years. I don't think that it is a coincidence that most of his healing is found at the water either. He says this about his journey. But God, in his sublime goodness, has always sent others, mysterious others, to walk with us. Prophets, preachers, friends, teachers, artists, storytellers, wives and husbands, children, songbirds and rivers, even hardship and loss, to help us see clearly. They are the ones who make our hearts burn within us, who call us out of our own indifference, our own lethargy, our death and defeat. They call us to be fully alive, or at least more alive than we were before we met them. God wants us to be fully alive. He wants us to be healed and find complete communion with Him. He may send people. We don't expect to do it. He may send us to the water. He may send us to a foreign land. He may use a stroller parked at a train station or the face of an innocent immigrant child or an old man on a park bench. No matter what or who He uses, God is calling us to be healed. He wants to take us from the chaos of the world to the peace of being whole. The question is, are we brave enough to accept it, even when it does not seem logical or practical, or like Naaman, good enough for our station in life? Are we willing to accept the healing God wants for us, and not just what we see for ourselves? For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. It is that freedom to love and live that Barry speaks of, that God longs for us to have. Because when we are free, when we have come through the hurt and the healing, we can then be the one that shows those around us how to be free as well. Amen. As you go throughout your week, don't just look for the places where you can be healed and for the people that God is using to heal you, but be that person that can show others what it looks like to be fully free and fully alive. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.